Blockchain has been hyped as an accounting game changer, but some of its fanfare diminished in 2019. It's now 2020, and blockchain isn't going anywhere. This episode of the Journal of Accountancy podcast delves into the assurance opportunities blockchain is creating for accountants, why blockchain is far more than a fad, and more. You'll hear the conversation right after a word from our sponsor.
CPA Charge is offered as an AICPA member discount partner as the best payment solution for CPAs, providing a simple, secure way for you to accept credit, debit, and e-check payments online. Take advantage of our modern cost-saving solution by visiting cpacharge.com/AICPA today.
Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Jeff Drew, Senior Editor for Technology with the Journal of Accountancy, and I am pleased to be joined today by Eric Askerson, the President and CEO of CPA.com, the business and technology subsidiary of the AICPA, and also by Ron Quaranta, who is the Chairman and CEO of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. And some in our audience may think that blockchain has been in a bit of a lull. I mean, there was a ton of hype about how it was going to change everything, and you know, change wasn't instantaneous. You may have heard of the Gartner hype cycle. The blockchain has gone from the peak of inflated expectations down into the trough of disillusionment, but it's maturing and it may be changing very quickly what you hear, thanks in part to a decision or a release recently by the IRS. So, gentlemen, where are we on blockchain, and what do CPAs need to know right now?
Great. Thank you. So, again, thanks to our friends and partners at CPA.com and AICPA. I'll agree with your point about kind of the attention of blockchain's waned a little bit, but I think two really important things are happening. I think for the accounting professional, looking at the recent IRS revenue ruling on crypto assets really elaborated on some of the open questions. I think there are still more questions to be answered by the IRS, but it's important that the practitioner understand that crypto assets are A, here to stay, and B, they're going to have clients that hold them. So what are the challenges around valuation and taxation? I think the other side of that is enterprise adoption of blockchain. When we look at different blockchain examples, and we brought up many times today the Walmart example, tracking food, and when you begin to watch produce and different industry verticals leveraging blockchain technology in production today, all of those firms leverage participants in the accounting profession. How does that get audited? What are the challenges of auditing blockchain and interactions? So to me, I'll see the uneven evolution, and maybe people aren't wanting to see blockchain 101, but going forward, it'll be even more critical for the profession to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah, Ron, I agree with a lot of those comments, and Jeff, thanks. It's great to be here with the Journal of Accountancy. When you think about, just first, when you think about the hype cycle, you know, when it's at the peak of inflated expectations, that's when you got the early adopters. Everyone's trying to understand, you know, what does it mean? What's the opportunity here? And you're sorting through things. And actually, when it goes down in the trough of disillusionment, it's actually that's the time that you really start working on the use cases that help you, you know, cross the chasm and start, you know, making productive use of this new technology. And actually, I think that's beginning to happen. So I think we're at an interesting time. I think the IRS rulings, the 10,000 plus letters that were sent out to many, many firm clients has definitely woken people up. So I think the lull it could be ending, and people are saying, okay, you know, how do I, you know, meet this compliance need? And you know, there's solutions that are in the marketplace. There's training that needs to be in the marketplace. So I actually think we're in a good state, and I think this is excellent that the firms can start working on this initial use case in a much broader way. I mean, there's been firms doing work in the crypto asset category, but now this is going to make it much wider spread, and I think as they understand how to meet the compliance needs related to crypto tax, they're going to get a better understanding of crypto assets, the blockchain category, and in some ways this will be a tipping point for them to go into some of the other areas that Ron just mentioned. Yep.
And just to finalize on that a little bit, when you look at, so for example, our accounting members in the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance, all of those members now have some level of blockchain and crypto asset practice
right.
within their organization. And it might be a person or a group, but they all understand that they need to answer those questions that their clients are bringing to them about the technology.
On that, Jeff, what I would say is that what it is, it's probably still like under 10% of firms.
Agreed.
So that, there are these firms that are, you know, part of the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance, and I really appreciate being partners with you on this, because we've been working on framing the discussion over the past couple of years. We've made a lot of progress through the different information that we've been jointly putting out. We just released a recent report on our most current blockchain symposium. Yeah. But I think we're now going to start moving into, you know, much higher percentages of firms that are getting their arms around this.
Agreed.
Okay. So that's a great segue to the symposium. And just thought you guys could talk a little bit about some of the work you've done overall together. And then also, you know, what was discussed at the symposium. You went through use cases. You discussed some of the IRS issues. Now, the symposium was held before the IRS ruling came out, but there was a lot of discussion. And kind of talk about what were your main takeaways for our audience from the symposium?
A year or two ago, there was a not insubstantial portion of the audience that had concerns or just didn't quite understand what does Bitcoin mean or what do these crypto assets mean. Or how does blockchain impact my profession or my role? In the latest blockchain symposium, it was a much more evolved conversation.
Absolutely.
It was, we have clients looking at crypto assets. We see blockchain solutions for audit. We have concerns about SOC 1 and SOC 2 compliance. So to me, the evolution of the conversation in the profession is that much further along. And in fairness, we speak to a lot of different industry groups. I would argue the accounting profession writ large is moving ahead further in adoption and understanding of the innovation of blockchain and crypto assets than a lot of other industry groups that we deal with, which is really telling.
I'll tell you, you know, one thing that's, you know, got a lot of buzz, and it had a lot of buzz right then, was Facebook's Libra announcement, and that we haven't even talked about that, but this what is probably higher on the hype cycle right now is stablecoins.
Yep.
And you know, Facebook Libra, their stablecoin, and the white paper that they issued, and testimony by Mark Zuckerberg in front of Congress. A lot of good thinking there. Like everything, though, there's lots of different opinions, I think that's great leadership. And you got J.P. Morgan, you know, their stablecoin. So that's probably one of the things that is a very, very current topic. And Ron, probably thinking.
If you could briefly explain for our listeners who haven't. Don't know what the difference is between a stable coin and something like Bitcoin.
So. Sure. So Bitcoin is the purest, in its purest form, is the basis for cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is a token that is based on the Bitcoin blockchain and is a pure cryptocurrency. A stablecoin is a bit of a different thing, and the stablecoin is designed, the ecosystem is designed to do one thing: minimize the known volatility of crypto assets, right? And you can see 10, 20, 30% shifts in some of these prices. And the idea was peg a stable coin or a token to the dollar. So USDT, for example, is a good example. Libra was meant to be pegged to, when it launches, whenever that may be, a basket of securities or currencies, for example. And some of the challenges, it multiply when you look at it from the accounting perspective, meaning, how do you value these? What are the price points and what are the reference data sets that the accounting profession needs to understand? How do they get transacted? How are they taxed? Matter of fact, one of the things that we were really proud of was the work we did with AICPA and CPA.com on our stablecoin primer for the accounting professional.
Right.
To help the accounting profession understand what's a commodity token pegged to a barrel of oil.
Right.
What is a dollar-based token? What is a yuan-based token? So stablecoins are meant to be pegged to an underlying existing fiat currency or asset.
And just, yeah, so a little bit on the stablecoins there, and this is where a lot of people are looking at blockchain and thinking that it could have a lot of value in just, you know, supporting financial transactions. And when you're doing financial transactions, sometimes you want a stable currency. And one thing with Bitcoin, the movements have, you know, caused people to, you know, have concerns in kind of holding Bitcoins. unless they are speculating. You know, and in some ways, even the Bitcoin drop was probably a good thing overall for the marketplace, because you want to get the speculators out and you want to see what value Bitcoin can provide to its different use cases. Just for the audience, I think everyone knows Bitcoin, they're all is built off of a blockchain database, just like the stable coins are. But the stable coins are, they're tied to these fiat currencies.
Right.
You could get Ron talking about even, you could really confuse the audience, talk about airdrops and forks and things
I
don't think we need to go there.
Right. No.
That's the next
definitely
podcast.
Definitely not right now. That's not something as great, just audio.
There you go.
I don't think. But it does seem like, you brought up the, use cases later on for like financial transactions and stuff, that was kind of some of the early hype within accounting. That's what people were talking about. This could help, lead to, the audit totally changing, or it's just all live and automated and we're doing different, the profession's having to do different things with it. It seems like now where the profession needs to be looking is they've got to figure out how to handle the accounting part of it. And, the IRS ruling is part of that, but a lot of the stuff you mentioned, they got to know these terms so they can have some idea of, what their clients are talking about.
Yeah, like all areas of the practice, you need to specialize and you need to become knowledgeable and experts in some ways in what you're supporting your clients with. So I think that is true, but when you start looking at the accounting services, there's going to be on the crypto asset area, there's going to be solutions that help you do the valuation work. Let me give you an example. These are the use cases that are occurring where you've got a crypto asset, and what happens at times, people donate their assets to not-for-profits. And some of these crypto assets have lockups. So then if most not-for-profits, if they get something donated to them and they can sell it quickly, they do maybe turn it into US dollars or whatever whatever currency. But in this case, they can't. So then they have to do some valuation work. Again, this is going to push firms that are supporting not-for-profits that may not be supporting people doing trades in crypto assets, but they'll say I have to do valuation work. Again, there's going to be a solution, there'll be training, and then you have assurance work. I think in the early stages of blockchain, we said this was going to really be massively disruptive, because everybody was going to start doing transactions in blockchains. That's not the case, because you're going to have a lot of different, probably permission-based blockchains, private blockchains, where people will potentially do some transaction work or supply chain work, but it's just going to require more expertise in making sure things are configured right, and it's leading actually to more assurance opportunities, not less.
Right.
And it gets us to, we've had this conversation many times, and I get a lot of accounting practitioners who are new to blockchain say the same thing, which is, oh my God, Ron, you just told me audit's going away, or whatever it may be, and you and I know audit's evolving, the profession's evolving, and I would argue that the qualitative aspects of audit don't go away, they become more important. And now the accounting and audit professional needing to understand, they don't need to understand hashing, they don't need to understand deep cryptography, but they need to understand blockchain use cases. The fact that Walmart shipped produce leveraging a blockchain, the fact that real estate titles will be sitting on blockchain, that's a spot for the accounting and audit professional to understand this is an ecosystem I need to keep up on, and that the tools for that ecosystem are beginning to appear. So when you look at valuations, I think the Luca example is a really good example in the partnership with CPA.com.
And we're recording this at the Digital CPA Conference, and I've been to every one. And you guys have, CPA.com has been ahead like a year or two on pretty much everybody else on the trends going on. In the last couple of years, there's been a huge emphasis on the need for trust and the attestation opportunities that technology is creating in the space. And I think what Ron touched on is a good segue. If y'all could kind of talk about those opportunities within the blockchain, blockchain related opportunities like smart contracts and things that'll need to be audited.
Thanks for being here at Digital CPA. It's great having you here and kind of, getting a lot of this good information out to the broader profession. The trust opportunity is a key value prop part of the profession, and there's never been a better time to kind of give more assurance As you look at, you know, data, you know, with such things as data analytics, you can really opine on the overall integrity of the data. And when going back to blockchain, things like smart contracts, that's absolutely something where, you know, the profession needs to play a role with the SOC standard and give some level of trust that people's smart contracts are written properly.
Yeah, and as a use of the technology evolves, that role of the accountant and the auditor to me gets more important for a couple of reasons. You hit on smart contracts, right. And that's not just a legal conversation, right? That's just not legal clauses. Does the contract do what the parties believe it's going to do, and who do they trust to check that? And it'll fall to the accounting and the audit profession. Right. When you talk about things like interoperability, when we have Walmart leveraging blockchain and all of these other organizations leveraging blockchain, who helps to understand and who do we trust to help understand, should this be a blockchain that my firm interacts with? And the first person I would go to is my accounting professional, my audit professional, to help me understand, is this an ecosystem I should be participating in? Is it compliant in the SOC realm the way it should be? Mm-hmm. And only with that level of trust will blockchain, which is meant to decentralize trust in a way, be more universally adopted at an enterprise level. We still need to trust the professionals to tell us it makes sense for you to be in this ecosystem.
I thought that was very well said. I think that the third-party assurance need around all these different blockchain ecosystems is going to be critical. It's going to be critical to adoption in the marketplaces, and it's an important role that the professions are going to play, and it's going to help drive success.
And yeah, that's what I was trying to get to with my question. I don't think I put it exactly right. Throwing attestation
in there. You just told us we didn't answer the question.
That's right.
Well, no, you did. You answered what I intended to ask. But okay. Eric gave me this look like, what in the world are you talking about? So, I'm used to getting that look. That's okay. But but no, you, Ron touched on it. And I think we're in a situation with like blockchain where we've got an article in the J of A, and we've got a line in there, or a quote in there about from Amanda Wilkie from Boomer Consulting saying that, you know, some CPAs may have think they've dodged the blockchain bullet. But I think what we're starting to see is it's more of an opportunity than something scary. And, you know, the work you guys are doing, you guys bringing in tools to help with some of the technical aspects of, you know, this is all new and it's stuff they haven't done before. And as you guys say in the white paper you put out, you know, the regulatory environment is not caught up yet, and you can't rush it because you got to get it right. So, but you know, there is a great opportunity there for accountants. So, as we close this out, do you have any message for our listeners? You know, what's one thing you would tell them on the blockchain space to think about? What should they be doing right now?
I think we've now moved past this 101 of blockchain that Ron described, and people going through these courses to understand how blockchain works. It's like, you know, going through courses understanding what cloud computing is, or even like right now we're beginning to do that with artificial intelligence. So that we've moved past that, and now you need to go into the use case. If it's you're a tax professional and you want to make sure someone in your office, you have to have someone in your office able to support the crypto tax compliance need or the valuation need, or do you want to do third-party assurance and smart contracts, or potentially some other assurance work. So I think that it really, you have to move away from this broad blockchain education to more specific use cases related to your vertical specialty.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's moved beyond for the profession the 101. If you remember the first keynote speaker from yesterday, she talked about time,
right,
and how you manage time. One of the things we put forward a lot is, if you haven't dedicated some portion of time to keeping track of innovation, you're going to begin to fall behind. And there's now a full library of information. I mean, CPA.com and AICPA, for example, across different industry verticals looking at blockchain. We do likewise for our membership as well. Carve out a little bit of that time to keep up with the curve, because it's moving fast enough that you need to be keeping up on a regular basis, and will absolutely evolve the profession.
All right.
And Jeff, these have been great questions. So I think that the thing is, you feel the passion here with Ron and I, and we do these things. Sometimes we'll jump across a couple of topics. But thank you. Thank you for leading this.
Thank you.
Really appreciate the Journal of Accountancy getting this out.
Yep. Well, thank you both for joining us. Again, this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. We thank our guests, Eric Askerson with CPA.com and Ron Quaranta with the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance. And I thank you both for taking something that can seem kind of nebulous and scary to accountants who haven't been following it and really giving them an idea that it's starting to come into shape more and more, and it'll be something that they can see and understand.
So don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, yeah.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.